Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, the White House retaliates. We lose Carrie Fisher, sadly, and Ford announces a new investment in electric vehicles. Let's go. Happy New Year.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Happy New Year.
2017, man.
Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective for 2017. I'm Joe Braswell. To my left is Akili Shine. How are you, sir?
I'm good, my man. Very well, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm great, actually. It's good, 2017. Man. New outlook. Got a new beard.
New beard.
Yep. We have the smooth sounds of the great DJ Quick.
Yeah, man.
L.A. legend.
West Coast legend,
man. Where is DJ Quick these days?
Hey, man, I'm sure he's still cooking up something.
He's still producing something. Like, is he doing something?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like a dope. Did he produce,
top
right?
10? Huh? Yeah.
He produced all that stuff. That was his thing. He's a dope producer, dope everything.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Like,
top 10 producer for a minute.
Yeah. I have him on my... on my Apple Music playlist entitled West Coast Roast. If you want to check that out, it's public world. Joe Braswell.
And not just that, man. You got to shout out Sugar Free, man. I.E. Pomona in the building.
Oh, Sugar Free. That's right.
Come on, man.
Sugar Free is like the original, he's like the original mystical in some ways.
Whoa. How you going to disrespect hometown grown legend? Like, that's so disrespectful. I'm not knocking Mystical, though.
No, I'm not. I think I'm confusing Sugar Free with Mossberg. I can't remember all the dudes in DJ Quick's crew. It was Mossberg, hey, Sugar Free.
Sugar Free got some classic lines.
Yeah,
man.
He Anywho. Does. Anyway, is he the one that said, make a jump in the air and don't come down until I tell you to?
Oh, he probably got like a gang of lines.
That was very mystical-ish. Anyway, welcome to 2017, man. We have lots to discuss. You have a good break.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Sure. Sure thing.
I know there's a lot transpired. We have a lot of movies, the Golden Globes coming up, which we will probably deal with next week. CES happened, which we'll actually probably deal with next week as well. But movies, did you get any chance? I know the answer to this already, but did you get a chance to check out any movies or anything pop culture wise over the holiday? Did you get caught up on anything?
I mean, I've seen pretty much everything. I haven't seen Hidden Figures yet.
Okay.
I plan to see that this week, actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna see that.
I know it just came
too.
Out. But I haven't seen Fences yet. I plan to see that today.
Oh.
But yes, everything else, right. I'm caught up
Fences.
On.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Fences and Moonlight? You catch that one yet?
Moonlight. No, I have not seen Moonlight.
Okay.
Don't
sleep on Moonlight.
It's 20 miles from me now.
Oh, that's right.
It's far enough. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be I mean,
I'm going to wait. It's going to be digital soon.
It's going to be digital very soon.
Exactly. I will say, you know, before we get into it, have you seen OA yet?
I actually ironically saw the pilot.
You tripping.
Oh, I'm not the pilot. I saw the first episode yesterday and this morning.
You better hurry up.
I mean, you
no,
know,
no,
no spoilers see, for the world, no, but I
no,
get it. I no.
No. You got to get past the first episode. You got to get past it.
Okay. But I will say, first of all, in general about Netflix, I'm not the first person to say this, but I'll say it again. Netflix is doing a really good job of taking these indie filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like this whole group, Brit, whoever's the lead in this, she's like one of this collective of filmmakers who've made a bunch of kind of like sci-fi-ish, you know, messianic indie films. And Netflix is like, it's like almost an endowment. They've just been taking these indie filmmakers and, you know, whether it's
why not?
You know, Joel Schwarzenberg or, you know, any of these other guys and just say, here's some money, go see what you can do. And so they got some money, so they're doing this. And I think people think it's going to be like some other crazy big budget weird thing or something very specific or from the studio that brought you Stranger Things. But it's definitely something different than that.
I mean, they signed Stranger Things in OA at the same time. And the fact that the producers and writers are friends.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, in terms of the intellectual, creative direction, it's the same. That's why you have to get past the first episode. It's brilliant. It's genius to me.
Oh, you're in there.
100%.
Oh, man.
Like, arguably, it's better than Stranger Things.
What?
It's so many.
What?
It's so many layers. It's so many layers to it. So many layers. I think it's genius.
Like a Russian nesting doll, if you will.
Anywho, I recommend it. I strongly recommend it.
Okay, I'll check it out. No, I really have to check it out, because I gotta admit, I was a little. It took me a while to get just through the first 30 minutes of the pilot.
Yeah.
And then once there's a, you know, once the twist kind of happens in the last 15 minutes of that, I was like, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, and then I was paying attention.
Right.
And then I was like, and then you know, it just like it makes you want to watch the second episode.
It's 100%.
Like, oh, well, I got to start now.
100%.
But I haven't done that. Yeah. So we'll see. But you recommend it. Well, then I got to watch it.
I strongly recommend it.
Okay.
Like, I felt the same way watching like the first 3/4 of the first episode, the pilot episode. I was like, about to change it, but then, you know, once the turn happened and the episode 2, I'm like, okay, I'm bought in.
Okay.
And then I literally binge watched the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay, good.
Stayed up all night and watched it.
Damn.
Yep.
Well, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. I will check out the OA. You know, and I know you checked out Force Awakens, because you know, Carrie Fisher's, RIP, but we'll get to that a little. But you did check that out and you liked it, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, good.
It was slam dunk.
All right, well, let's get into some other stuff. You know, we have as we all know, we have in about 15 days, or I don't know, maybe 13 days, President-elect Donald Trump will be our president.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, you know, Barack's still in charge, and he has announced some real retaliation against Russia, and this is not exactly breaking news because this happened a while ago, but it's just something I want to talk about as it relates to hacking and the future of hacking. He ejected some diplomats and imposed some sanctions, and Putin kind of talked back and said, we will retaliate as well. What do you make of this?
I mean, it's water under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, Obama's vocalization of it now and his using his political power now to address it, I mean, okay, he's almost out the door. So,
right.
I mean, I think, you know, we're going to go through, you know, transition with Trump, and we'll have to deal with whatever consequences and repercussions, all of that happens. But in terms of future-facing stuff, as it relates to espionage and, you know, cyber hacking and all this stuff, like, I think we have to be very... We have to watch it very closely, because I think China, Russia, I mean even this country on its own citizens, like, I mean, the way that this stuff is built, like, it's easy for your information to be looked at, distributed, used against you, and so, I mean, we're in the times where, like, we are connected to our devices, and it's an information age, and information is king, you know?
Right.
Countries want to be able to thwart an election based on, you know, misinformation, you
sure.
know? So,
sure.
What do you think?
I think it's just kind of like, it's the new normal. It's actually very scary when it comes to thinking about the world we live in,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, the retaliation back, and what this means. I mean, it's only a matter of time before someone hits a power grid, you know, in a major city. And it's only a matter of time between, you know, before something else gets shut down or stopped, mm-hmm. like, you know, banks or banking system or local government. Like, they'll hit something in New York, or the stock exchange goes down. So there's a lot of things that, like, are susceptible to hack, not just through computers, but through, like, power grids and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and you also have North Korea, and you also have, you know, China. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, nukes are one thing, and then it was, you know, chemical weapons. And then it's cyber, and now I think it's a combination of all three.
It's definitely a combination of all three.
The other thing I heard about, you know, just to talk about this new normal, is not to go into a full blown, you know, terror podcast, but the idea of exploding drones, the idea of, like, drones, fluff drone flying in and exploding something, either you know, worst case scenario, nuclear materials or whatnot, but even a medium case scenario, some sort of biological agent, you know. I've been sick for 2 weeks. I'm like, I keep wondering about, like, damn, did they get me? You know,
Amazon got you.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's. I have very little confidence that a Trump administration, with his sort of really animosity towards the intelligence community and their work, is going to be able to protect us from these things that aren't necessarily military you know, these are things that more or less that fall in the intelligence community to work with the military as opposed to like tanks and troops and missiles.
Yeah, it's classic espionage. It's classic like man on the ground, fingertips at the computer, classic espionage, you know, listening in, gathering information, disseminating information, and then, you know, creating the misinformation. All of that is like before, you know, any of these future technological devices we use now. Like, that's the type of strategies that were being used in the Cold War. And now, you know, we're seeing it kind of like back now in 2017, 2016. So,
I mean, the president who's a businessman who has the audacity to come in and say a 75-year agency of spies who've kept it safe for years and be like, these guys don't know what they're doing.
What they're talking about.
I do.
Right.
Look at me. Yeah. It's insane. At face value, it's insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. In a awkward transition, Twitter is announcing 360 video streaming. Now, I forgot it in the car because I'm in such a hurry, but I got one of those goggles, the VR goggle joints.
Nice. Wow, which one did you get?
I don't know.
Oh,
the
no.
Name, but
HTC?
I got... It's one of them. Okay. It may be HTC.
Okay.
But it's nice. And, you know, the goggle fits on there. Your phone goes in there.
Yeah.
I've been kind of nonstop checking out downloading content, checking out stuff on internet, like checking out stuff on YouTube, porn, I bring that up because there's 360 video streaming on Twitter now, and I don't think I understand how this works.
What do you mean?
Is it just, I mean, because how do you, is it?
You have to be as a content creator, if I have the...
You have to have a camera joint.
The camera, yeah. I'm able to create the content and just use Periscope, Twitter as the platform, and then you as a consumer can watch it. But what the Twitter is saying is they're not allowing everyone to create the content. They're only allowing specific people to create the content.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, if you have a 360-degree camera, you're good to go for the most part, you know what I'm saying? But... Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I don't, you know, a tweet out, a 360-degree live tweet. I mean, this is kind of, we talk about what the evolution of Twitter will be as a media company. You know, we talk about them, you know, 140 characters is not going to be the lick for the next 3 years, let alone 5 years or 2 years even. So what are they going to do to improve on that? And, you know, they're broadcasting football games or they're trying TV shows, but do you think this is going to help them?
I mean,
or is it gimmicky? Is it like another Periscope?
I don't think it's gimmicky because Periscope is not gimmicky. They just didn't have the right marketing strategy to compete with the Facebook.
Right.
Like, because Facebook Live clearly is all over the place and being used in many different forms. Even though Periscope was arguably first, I mean, well, second, Meerkat was first.
Right.
But they just didn't have the, I think the correct strategy to be able to get people to implement it. And I think Facebook is a better platform for it, being that, you know, most of the community is there. I mean, 1.3 billion users on Twitter is like 400 million tops, but I feel that, you know, they're adopting it first and bringing it to market first. Facebook is just gonna be like, okay, great job, and just, you know, do it better.
Yeah,
so
we'll see. I have no idea what to expect, so I'm very interested to see like how this is gonna play out,
but
or if this is gonna be used.
I will say it is kind of gimmicky though. Once you watch a few of them, it's not like I'm gonna be standing in line waiting to watch the next 360-degree video. It's like, okay, cool. I've seen one. I've kind of seen them all.
And also, like, you keep tweeting these things out. Are you follow people who do these videos, and then what's the difference between getting those videos on YouTube versus, you know, Twitter? And I guess the idea of a live experiential situation, I mean, the only thing I think of is stuff like for news, like Vice News.
Like, you're in the battlefield somewhere.
Battlefield, like the Arab Spring, like that whole thing. If you're like, you know, real time, what's happening there? That's something.
That's kind of cool.
But yeah, I don't know. So, you know, we'll go from there. We're going to turn to Elon Musk's SpaceX situation, which seemed to be on the rapid incline until one of those joints blew up, you know, and now they're just going to say they know what happened to it.
Right.
You know, it was being fueled up and, you know, it was manless, but it's a pressure vessel connected to an oxygen tank, whatever. But the most important question is, what is this? First of all, I guess what my statement is, I'm not getting in one of these. I don't understand the race. I guess someone has to do it, but the race to go back to space, by privatized companies. I think it's very inspiring and interesting, but I don't know why I'm completely uninterested in it. I think that if you do this, there's going to be a lot of explosions and trial and errors, but I don't know. This isn't really, none of this floats my boat or gets me excited or gets me not excited, but I should say, are you excited that SpaceX has found the problem they can get back to work? Yeah. Do you care? How do you feel about
this? I'm a fan of Musk. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a genius. I mean, what he's done with Tesla, with Solar City, and now the SpaceX program, I think is purely inventive. Like, to be able to, as a private company, as a corporation, to be able to send goods or to send commercial satellites up into space, not yet people, but, you know, various things to the International Space Station in a more efficient, more cost-efficient and time-efficient way, I think is going to change the way we think about space exploration and even space colonization. So I think him taking a lead on this and figuring out different ways to propel products and different things up into, you know, I don't know what the technical term, but into space, I think is pretty profound. And us not relying on the government to do it or NASA to do it, like, yeah, to be able to have options, and I think to have something that's more technologically sound and sophisticated, I think is dope.
I guess it's significant to not have. I mean, someone has to do it, right? I think that it's very short-sighted of me to say, like, you know, to worry about, like, the now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's hard for me to think about, you know, in 20 years, Elon Musk is going to have this thing licked. It's like,
I mean, I think he is. I think he'll be closer to having someone land on Mars than NASA.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, he has the resources,
exactly,
and the money, and NASA's mm-hmm. not doing anything about it,
right?
And so, it just asks a larger question about privatization, and, you know, we're going to get into that era now in the Trump administration. We know everything's deregulated, everything's privatized, and it's good when these people, like, you know, I keep hollering about, but these people like Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and even the Alphabet folks are doing stuff for the, you know, for good. But what if it's like not someone for good? What if the equivalent of, like, the richest man on the planet is Putin? What happens when Putin, you know, decides to, I don't know.
I mean, we've already had that in the history, in the industrial age. We've had tons of mega corporations and CEOs,
sure,
and owners have done that. So, I mean, it wouldn't, sure, be anything different.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, you can go back to all the Titans.
Exactly.
The Rockefellers,
exactly,
and the Melons and the,
100%, you know, the Carnegies.
Yeah.
All of that.
All right. Well, that's crazy. Moving on. So Ford. Before that, Amazon, man. This is so crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is talking about a flying warehouse that will deliver your stuff by drone. Now, we already talked about the fact that they're going to be delivering shit by drone. Right. The drones will take off from a distribution center, fly to your crib, drop it off. But what they're saying is, he's taking it one step further. He wants to get a fleet of blimps. Like, so picture the Goodyear blimp with a cache of products and drones already loaded up with stuff, yeah, like food and snacks,
merch,
and merchandise, whatever, yeah, and it's flying over to the football game, the mm-hmm. Rams game, and you from your phone order like, I don't know, I want, I don't know, whatever, I want a Hot Pocket,
yeah,
right to your seat, mm-hmm. and it's up back up to the center. That is craziness to me.
Yeah, it's craziness to me. I don't see it.
Is even practical and cost effective?
I don't see the feasibility of it.
Like, can't you just drive a truck to the back of the stadium and have launch drones from there?
The thing is that they're trying to figure out how to reduce the dependency on energy. So, because the balloon or the blimp will be so high up, the drone will actually use Earth's gravity to get to a height where then the propellers that come on and electricity is powered by electricity, and then it will fly to you versus it having to be flown from the ground up. It's all energy, and then flying back with carrying nothing, it's like, it's a waste of energy. So
basically, it's a dead drop.
Exactly.
Propellers kick in.
Propellers aren't kicking in.
I know. Wow. Right. Like, I don't know, but I guess that makes sense.
I don't see the, like I said, I don't think it's feasible. How do you protect this? If I have, like, I could shoot this out the sky if it's just hovering over the Colosseum.
I guess it's the same thing as, like, I mean, this was the plot of I think it was called Black Sunday, a big movie back in the 70s. a blimp, you know, at the Super Bowl crash into the Super Bowl. So I guess that was a big thing. It hasn't happened yet. Blimps fly over sporting events all the time, so right. It's not. They're obviously good targets.
Yeah, but blimps that have nothing in them.
Well, that people, yeah. So the idea of this giant payload
it has product, exactly.
Of products. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely ripe for some corporate espionage. I could definitely see another company wanting some shit to go wrong.
Right.
And like, oh, you know, but I don't know.
The fact that, you know, the fact that Bezos is thinking this way is what's is crazy to me. Like, hey, you know, just forget these drones. I'm going to try to step it up. Like, and then, you know, Facebook, you know, doing these type of balloons and trying to get internet to places where obviously, you know, it's harder to have that access. I think he's like trying to like kind of bridge both of those technologies and figure out how it could be used for him and his business. And I think that part is pretty brilliant. The fact that he's thinking along those lines. What other things is he thinking about? What other patents does he have that people have been connected yet?
Yeah, and it just speaks to like the idea of the blue sky, clear whiteboard thinking on the highest level. I mean, when Bezos is in a meeting with all of his thinkers and the whiteboard comes out, like nothing's off the board. Exactly. How about a spaceship?
Right.
Like, nothing's off the board.
Right.
How about we take over the post office? Yeah. How about we build drones and blimps yeah. and drop them down on stadiums? There's nothing's exactly. off the board.
Nothing.
That's crazy. So I think that's there's something about that to get to that point in innovation that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's like that in Facebook, too. I'm sure nothing's off the board.
All of them. All the big guys.
Yeah. You know. I don't know. I wonder, I mean, also it's interesting to me that none of these guys are I'm kind of getting off topic a little bit, but, well, actually Google is getting into the whole, you know, genome situation you know, all this money and research. Mm-hmm. Why aren't these guys getting into more of this sort of like stem cells and mapping genomes and all that stuff?
Don't know that they're not.
I know. I mean, Google is. Actively is.
Publicly. Right.
But, yeah, it's just like, you know, I think about, you know, yeah, the idea of that whiteboard, you know? All right, what do you think, Akili? I mean,
all these guys have, you know, an R&D department that's top secret.
Yeah.
So who knows what they're developing, you know?
I mean, who knows how long the blimp has been in the works?
Well, I mean, they filed a patent over 8 months ago. But that's just filing the patent. Like, they might have been developing that idea for years.
Is the blimp unmanned, too? Is there someone just... with the blimp?
Hey, man. I don't think it needs to be manned. That's the whole point.
Yeah, well, no. Well, you see, I think about this at high. I don't want to do this at basketball games, but they do it at Kings and hockey games. They have, like, the crazy blimp that flies around indoors in the hockey games, which is crazy.
Right.
And it's a drone that just flies around and does a bunch of shit. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess there's precedent. Moving on, we talked about Detroit getting involved in the electric car game and in the transportation game. Well, Ford announces that they're going to invest $4.5 billion in electric vehicles.
How innovative.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that, you know, I don't buy it at all because... you know, the CEO of Ford is kind of like a, you know, not the most liberal cat in the world.
All right.
Yeah. He's, you know, to be whatever. And he's quoted by saying, I'm encouraged by the pro-growth policies of President-elect Trump.
And the new Congress.
Okay. That way.
I'm encouraged too.
It's all about, I mean, this is all like weird smoke screens. When I see this stuff, like, I'm like, oh, we're going to invest in electric vehicles. Look over here. Then what are they doing down here? Taking advantage of all the deregulation.
Of course.
It's all, you know, Trump's going to deregulate everything, which means the PR push is like, now we're free to help the people. But down here, they're going to be doing all kind of shit.
Yeah.
So, this is just like, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like they're late to the game. They have to innovate. I get the smokescreen theory, but they're definitely late to the game. When you look at companies like Uber, Tesla, and the list goes on. Google trying to develop, you know, driverless cars that are also electric based or hybrid based. Like, I mean, Ford has to step it up. You know, you have. I think there's a stat going around, like within the next 30 years, that our dependency on oil and our dependency on combustible engines will be completely. Reverse, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be more of an electrical landscape or even like a solar landscape. And so I think they have to get into this business now or they'll be completely obsolete, you know? Right. The obsolescence has already started, in my opinion.
Yeah, so. I mean, this, again, this is just a, I think this is just a PR joint. Speaking of PR, Chrysler unveils this new minivan concept. You know,
who cares?
I don't really care about this stuff. I mean, CES stuff. We'll get into all the CES. We're gonna do our CES wrap up next week. We're supposed to do it today. We're gonna do it next week because there's a lot of stuff we want to talk about. This isn't one of them. I never ever you know, in I've been going to car shows for like 15 years. I've seen 15 years of concept cars.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen one with the exception of that BMW joint that's actually made it.
Yeah, that one was fresh though.
Yeah, but that's actually like, oh, it made it. I've seen so many concept bubble cars with all kinds of goofy computers. I mean, the closest things I've seen are in what's inside a Tesla that looks like something you see in a concept car in terms of the dash, and the BMW joint, both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen like a concept car that's come to life?
No.
I think this is, and these are always just.
But, I mean, I think the concept is more so of the inner workings of it. It may not be like the design of it. Right. It might just be like the software that's, you know,
that's
running within the system.
That's fair.
I think that we definitely have seen that, you know. I mean, from navigation systems being built into cars. I remember that was like the cool thing, having a navigation system.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Versus now that's a standard thing. So I think we've seen that evolution, or even having the ability to have Bluetooth in your vehicle. Like, all that was futuristic.
Yeah.
You know, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, now we have navigation on our watch and navigation's everywhere.
Exactly.
One thing I just did found out the other day, by the way, and then doing some research and I was thinking about this. Back to the hacking safety and all this other stuff. And one of these, I read one of these guys were talking about in trying to keep what's going to take to keep people safe. And he's talking to all this a big group, all these hackers. And none of these guys, the first thing they said is none of them have satellite radio. And they said that satellite radio is the main way that it's a two-way thing that that's how they can get into your car.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I was like, oh, wow. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, sat radio was a no. Like, no sat radio. Because that's if you want people to track you, get into your car, get into your vehicle, that is easy. I can do that in like 2 minutes.
Man.
Like, just give me the VIN number and give me the guy.
Wow. Da, da, da,
da, da. Oh,
crash.
Yeah, crash. He's head left here, crash.
Right.
Like, that's easy. He's like, it's just funny. Like, there's a bunch of things that these guys don't do, and it makes you think, like, oh shit, why do I do that?
Man.
And a lot of it includes, you know, stuff that we, you know, sign terms and conditions on every day, but whatever.
Hey.
Pandora's box.
So you're out on the selfie car.
I'm out. I don't think it's just not even worth talking about. I mean, we could, but whatever. I want to get into this thing is interesting to me, and we're going to hit a couple more. Speaking of which, Apple FaceTime, someone's suing Apple for not being able to prevent FaceTime while driving. I mean, now look, you can, when you're on Waze as an app, if you get on Waze, it asks you, are you a passenger? And so there's the ability to know, like, through your accelerometer and your phone, if your car is, if you're moving in a car. Like, it does that through Maps. It does it through Waze. So, you know, this does kind of make sense. But what do you think of this?
No, it's not the company's responsibility
to
protect citizens. It's not the responsibility. It's the person that's using the device to be responsible. For instance, and they cited great examples. If I go to a fast food restaurant and I'm eating a Big Mac from McDonald's and I crash because I was eating the Big Mac, do I sue McDonald's?
It's
stupid. That's retarded.
It's just stuff.
You cannot
like
eat your Big Mac while driving.
Man, like, if McDonald's hadn't made that shit so good.
Right. So if I'm listening to the Brothers Johnson and I'm just grooving out,
right?
And I crash, do I sue the Brothers Johnson?
I mean, Lewis' bass line shouldn't have been so funky. He shouldn't have made the bass line so funky.
I mean, and I'm not trying to like belittle, like, you know, the tragedy element of it. I mean, it's sad when someone is irresponsible and makes a dumb decision that hurts, injures, or kills someone. But I think those people are just trying to, you know, grab for the biggest pockets. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's Apple's responsibility to be like, hey, well, you're driving, you can't use FaceTime.
Like, fair enough.
Obviously, you shouldn't be using FaceTime.
Well, fair enough as a response to the lawsuit. And I tend to agree with you on the lawsuit part of it. But the question is, lawsuit aside, should FaceTime add something in there? Are you just like, nah? Or do you think they should add something that says, oh, you're driving?
You shouldn't be on your phone, period.
Okay.
Like, you should be on your phone, period. So what should happen is you're a driver. Or I don't even know how you would delineate driver or passenger.
It would ask you.
But so then your phone should just be shut off while you're driving. You shouldn't be able to access anything.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the accelerometer knows what you're doing. It knows how fast you're going. It knows when you're walking, when you're driving, when you're moving. When you go into Waze, it's like, whoa, you're moving. Are you a passenger?
But yeah, I'm a passenger.
I know. That's what that's, I say. That's what I say every time as I'm whipping around. You're about to crash. But yeah, that's it's true. I don't know. A couple good things before we get out of here. I want to hit on, you know, we mentioned Carrie Fisher passed away. A sad thing. You know. Age 60, it's sad. Her mom the next day is very sad. Star Wars is releasing a new version of New Hope.
4K,
which I'm very interested in. Just really quickly, what did you think of the CGI stuff and all, you know, the mini CGI people brought back to life?
Thought it was seamless.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really good.
I mean, at this point, it can't be any spoilers, but, you know.
Right.
Looks good.
that's it. Hands down, it looked good. Like, I mean, the fact that they're able to do that, like, I can only imagine what they could do with other classic iconic characters and being able to like give them that screen time, even though they've either passed away or obviously they look, you know, aged. Like, I think that's crazy that we have the technology to do that.
And people have talked about that, and I people were like, it's all fake. It didn't look bad to me. It looked good to me. Yeah. I was looking really closely at Grand Moff Tarkin, and he looked good to me.
For someone that never knew, you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Like, some of these guys were all like, ah. And, I mean, look, there's been bad versions of that. I think the Paul Walker joint was bad.
Yeah.
And I think, but it wasn't ILM.
Right.
Or Weta, the two people who lead this thing.
Right.
I don't know who did that effects work, but I know, no offense, it wasn't as good.
Right. It wasn't as good.
Speaking of ILM, I just went back and watched Civil War.
Nice.
And there's that bit with which the CGI in that is ridiculously seamless.
Right.
But there's a bit in that with Robert Downey Jr. at the beginning where he's, you know, young.
The young guy. Yeah.
I watched it, I paused it. It looks great.
Yeah,
you think that was a little dubious?
No, I think it looks great, but I think that one I could tell. I mean, obviously you can tell because he's in the frame too.
Yeah,
but before he comes in the frame, like it looks computerized.
His face, like the
it
skin,
looks too smooth.
Smooth. You know? I mean, well, he's a kid.
Okay.
Also, the way
that's
I saw
looking kid.
To that point, I also went back to Ant-Man and saw that Michael Douglas, and that looked pretty good too.
It did.
The thing about all those, that I think is the issue, is the lighting. It's like they do really good, like getting light right, like in a Pixar movie, and how the light reflects in your face. It's really difficult to get lifelike skin. You do it good on like digital, like on video game cutscenes and shit or whatever. Right. But like if you're talking about lifelike skin, how the light reacts to your face,
yeah.
That's the part that always gets, because it always seems like everyone's face is glowing.
It's glossy. It's too glossy.
Yeah, like Prince Leia's face was glowing. And,
right.
And that's the only thing I would say, but you know.
But damn, think about it. We're gonna come to a time where maybe
they'll get that right.
Multiple characters will be completely fake.
We'll be able to watch, you know, Goodfellas Part 2.
Exactly.
But like
Godfather Part 3.
Yeah, 4. The next day, a lot of people were all dead, like interacting. So
that's awesome.
That's gonna happen. I mean, you know. All right. So,
dang, that's crazy.
Last but not least, because I kind of need to get out of here, and I lost my place. I forgot where I was. Oh, I just deleted everything. Well, okay. Last but not least, I'm going to get there. We're going to talk about, really quickly, I Gambino VR. So I got a VR thing for Christmas. I checked it out. This is late, but Gambino, whose record we talked about a few weeks ago, he's got a VR app, which you can check out with or without the VR headset. I checked out the headset, put the headphones on, and it was amazing. Like, it really, I thought the whole thing was very transformative, transportive. It was great. It just really made me think about new ways to experience music. There's such things as Coachella and other things. It's giving me a lot of ideas on how to do experiential concerts,
right?
Because I really felt like I was at that joint. Now I couldn't walk around,
right?
But I was stuck in one spot, but I could look around. I could see the band in the background. The sound was amazing. Mm-hmm. The way he had it set up, there was stuff happening in the sky. Mm-hmm. I looked behind me, there was a girl picking her nose in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, it was dope. In general, I think all this VR stuff, I feel like it's getting better and better and better and better as more people do more content. It's exciting times.
Definitely exciting times. I mean, we always talk about on the show, you know, what the future holds for this medium.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, once it gets more lifelike, more realistic, I think it's going to be explosive. It's going to be an explosive industry. I mean, it already kind of is. So
yeah. We have a huge movie lineup, which I want to talk about, but I just want to just throw some titles at you and give you a thumbs up, thumbs down, get excited it. Out. Thor, Ragnarok, yes.
Yeah, it's a bump it.
Guardian Galaxy 2, yes.
Of course.
Star Wars, yes. Of Power course. Rangers. Mm. Eh, that's your generation.
Actually,
not mine.
However,
your generation.
The trailer looks pretty fresh, but I don't know. Okay. I'm not like I gotta go.
Okay,
I'm not saying that.
I care less. Logan, yes, old man. Logan, Kong, Skull Island. That's a yes.
It looked fresh. Trailer looked fresh.
Yeah, it's yes for the
Kong
visuals.
Is looking fresh.
The visuals look dope.
Yeah.
Alien Covenant's a huge yes for me. Ridley Scott,
of course.
World War Z 2.
I won't be going to see that.
Oh,
I'm not lined up to see that one. Lined up, you're gonna be.
I'll be there Thursday night.
No, thank you.
Batman Lego movie, yes.
Sorry,
yes. Okay,
I will not take my grown
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dark Tower. I didn't read the book, so I'm not a fan. But what I mean,
I would say yes
good,
on that
good.
One.
Spider-Man, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wick is a yes.
No, am I going to the theater on that one, bro?
Did you see John Wick?
Of course. I'm not going to the theater on that
one. Came in Golden Circle. Maybe. I like the first one. I'll go see it. Blade Runner 2 is a yes. That's not until Justice League is a yes for me. War Planet of the Apes.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, here's your movie. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales.
No, thank you.
I will say, that trailer looks really good, though.
Great. I'll see it when it comes out.
And I'm out on the last three Pirates movies, but that trailer looks good. Resident Evil Final Chapter is a no. All right, that's all we got. Folks, we can get out of here, but we'll get more into CES and also Golden Globes and some other stuff next week. Happy New Year to you all. Thank you for coming in, and I'm happy to see you. I mean, and that's it. Where can people find you, Akili?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. And where can they find you, my
at man? Joe K. Braz on Instagram and Twitter, and maybe a little bit of JK Braz at Snapchat, although I've been off of that. You guys have a wonderful start of the year. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.